Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Ches. We left off on daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we thank him so very much again for the sponsorship. And again, I was asked to announce that the Play for BK raffle continues for another 2 days. So if you go to bknw.org, you can buy a raffle ticket. Okay, wonderful. So we're at the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss cases of Bechor L'Nachla Uli Yerusha, cases of neither Bechor L'Nachla nor Liyerusha, and a machlokas about a Yotzei Dofen, and the child is born after the Yotzei Dofen, about a child who's born with a C-section, and the child that follows the child that's born with a C-section. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to discuss cases of a Suffolk Bechor, where either a child died, or the father died, and how that affects the Chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. And the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas where a father died and they already divided the Nechasim, they already divided the Yerusha, and we don't know exactly who the Bechor is, so the machlokas in the Mishnah about what to do about that case. The entire Gemara on that Mishnah is going to be three different mahalchim to understand exactly what the case is that they're arguing about and what exactly the halacha is that they're arguing about, just understanding that machlokas. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to have nine different cases of Suffolk Bechor and tell us the halacha in each of those cases. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Ezu Bechor L'Nachla Ula Kohen. What's a case where a Bechor is a full-fledged Bechor? He gets Pishnayim in Yerusha, and there's a Chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen, even though there seems to be some issue. It seems to be that there was a Leida prior to him. Obviously, if it's just a regular firstborn, so that's a Bechor L'Nachla Uli Yerusha. When we say Ezu Bechor L'Nachla Uli Yerusha, we mean where you wouldn't think so. So the case is Hamapel Shvir Malimayim. A woman was mapil a sack full of water, or male dam full of blood, male ganidin full of different colors. Hamapel is kimin dagim b'chagavim, or the thing that came out of her body looks like dagim b'chagavim. Shkatzur musim looks like some creepy crawly creatures. Doesn't even look like a behemoth or a chayah or anything. Vamapelas liyom arba'im, or a woman has a miscarriage prior to day 40 or earlier of the pregnancy, where it's not yet considered a vlad. The tzurus of vlad is only after 40 days of the pregnancy. So the first child that's born after such a miscarriage doesn't count as a leida at all, and the first child that's born afterwards is a bechor, both as far as nachla is concerned and as far as a kohen is concerned. Now, yotzei dofen, what if the first child is born normally, but is born healthy rather, but he's a yotzei dofen, he doesn't come out through the rechem, he's a C-section, and the child that's born after the Yotzei Dofen, Shnein Einan Bechor, Lo L'Nachla V'Lo L'Kohen. Neither of them is a Bechor, neither gets Pishnayim, and neither is Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Harishon L'Nachla, V'Asheni L'Chamesh Shloim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we split the Dinim of Bechor over here. The first one gets Pishnayim, the second one is actually Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. So the Mishnah said that the first one that was came out Derech Dofen, and the one after, according to the Tanakh, Kama doesn't have any dinei bechor, not for Yerusha, not for Pidyon HaBen. So Gemara explains, where do we know that from? So Rishon L'Nachla Lo, why is the firstborn who came out Derech Dofen not going to get Pishnayim? Because V'yoldu Lo Be'inon. Pasuk says, in order to get Pishnayim, Pasuk says V'yoldu Lo. And so Yoldu Lo implies that it's got to be Derech Leida. This Vlad was not born Derech Leida. He was born Derech Dofen, and that's not considered the normal Derech Leida. So that's why he's not going to get Pishnayim of the Yerusha. Tosos raises the question, Dibra Maskel Rishon, that it is a little bit difficult, because that if the Gemara is darshening the word Leida to exclude a Yotzei Dofen, the Yotzei Dofen is not called Leida, so there's another sugya, Maseches Nidadav Mem, where we say that the mother of a Yotzei Dofen doesn't have Yemei Tuma and Yemei Tahara that are normally outlined in Parshas Tazria, because the pasuk over there says Isha Ki Tazria V'Yolda, and we darshen Ad Sheteled Mimakom Shemezra'as, that it's not enough that she have a leida, she has to have a leida mimakom shemizra'as. So the implication Tosa says is that the word leida itself would have included all types of leida, even a yotzei dofen as well. It's only the juxtaposition of tazria, the yolda, that excludes a yotzei dofen over here. It's just v'yoldulo. So the drasha is a little bit difficult to understand over here. So that's Tosa's kasha on the way Rashi understands the drasha of the Gemara. But anyway, so that's why he's not a bechor as far as nachla is concerned. What about as far as pidyon ben? L'chamesh shlam namilo, because petarechem be'inan, because he's supposed to be petarechem and he's not a petarechem. He never came out derech arechem. Sheni l'nachla lo, why is the second born not going to be the bechor for Yerusha? Because reishis ono be'inan. In order to be a bechor for Yerusha, pasuk says ki hu reishis ono lo mishpat habechora. Only if he's reishis ono, and this is not reishis ono because there was another baby before him. L'chamesh shlam namilo, he's also not going to chayim pidyon ben, because we're working with the assumption that someone who's a b'char l'davar echad is not a b'char, that you need to be a b'char l'chol davar in order to be a b'char. The Taz explains that even though the second guy, even though the second son is a b'char l'rechem, he's not a b'char l'pidyon ben, because he's not a b'char l'nachla, since he's not reishis ono, because the yotzei dofen was reishis ono. So says Rabbi Kiveger, ooh, if that's the case, if the Vlad Yotzei Dofen was a Nefel, let's say the Yotzei Dofen did not survive, he was a Nefel, so then the second one should be a Bechor LeKohen, because when the first one is a Nefel, the second one is a Bechor LeNachla as well, meaning if the whole thing that passels the second one from being Chayv and Pidyon HaBen is because he's already not a Bechor LeNachla, so Mele he cannot be a Bechor LePidyon HaBen because he can't be a Bechor for only one, not the other. So what if the first one was a Nefel, so then the second one becomes a Bechor L'Nachla, and Mimele becomes a Bechor L'Pidyon HaBen as well. So that's Rabbi Kiveger's Kiddush. So based on that, Rabbi Zilberstein raised the following Shaila. Let's say a woman goes for a sonogram, and she discovers, she feels something's wrong, she feels the baby's not kicking, whatever, and she goes for a sonogram, and she discovers that she's carrying a Nefel, that the baby has not survived. So she and the doctors tell her that they're able to take it out not by going derech dofen. They don't have to go derech dofen to remove the fetus, but she dafka wants them to go derech dofen so that the next one will have kedushas bechor. The next baby will have kedushas bechor. Does she have a right to do that? So he points out the famous shuvah in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chel Gimel Siman Tzadi, where Rav Moshe was asked if someone is not able to fast on Yom HaKippurim, but if you give them an IV, they'll be able to fast. Are you obligated to set them up with an IV in advance? And Rav Moshe says that there are lots of reasons that you're not allowed to do that, that you don't have to do that. And he says, and once you don't have to do that, we have to be choshesh that putting an IV in unnecessarily is a violation of chavala, because you're only allowed to do a mice of refuah when a person needs a refuah. But if a person doesn't need a refuah, you're not allowed to do actions of refuah. You're just being chaval in the person. So Zilberstein said to do a C-section unnecessarily, to cut a woman open unnecessarily, that's vadai going to be, it would seem to be a violation of a chavala. Then he says maybe not, because women get C-sections so routinely nowadays that maybe it doesn't even count as a chavala anymore. I don't know. I think an IV is still way more routine than cutting a person open. So I'm not sure. Okay, so says the Gemara further, rather, Rabbi Shimon Omer, harishon l'nachla v'asheni l'chamesh shlaim, that the one who's born as a C-section, he is the b'chor l'nachla, he does get pishnaim, and the second one is chayv and pidyon ben. And this is Rabbi Shimon l'tamei, da'amar, teile l'rabos yotzei dofen, he darshens a meseches krisus when it comes to tumas leida, and the pasuk says, v'im nekeva teileid, v'tama shvuayim k'nidasa, that the extra word teileid is l'rabos yotzei dofen, that even the leida of yotzei dofen is considered a full-fledged leida to be metame the mother with tumas leida, and also as far as nachla is concerned, even though the b'chor does not get the chelek b'chora unless he's nola derech leida, a leida's yotzei dofen is called derech leida v'asheni l'chamish shlam. But the second one is the b'chor as far as pidyon ben is concerned, because kasavr b'chol davar echad have a b'chor, that it's possible to be a b'chor only for a davar echad, and he was the peta rechem, so as a peta rechem he's a b'chor l'davar echad as far as pidyon ben is concerned, even though he's not a b'chor as far as Yerusha is concerned. Okay, so says the Mishnah now on the top of Memches Amid Aleph. So in general, the chiyuv of Chamish Shlam L'Pidyon HaBen is a chiv mamon. And whenever you have a suffik in a chiv mamon, the halacha always is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. You want to get money from someone, you have to prove that they owe you the money. Mishalo bikri ishto v'yaldu v'yalda shnei zecharim. A woman never had a baby before, and now all of a sudden she has two boys. Nosin chamisha, but you don't know which one is which. Nosin chamisha son lechayim. Doesn't matter that you don't know which one is which. You know that one of these is definitely a bechor, and therefore the father is chayiv in pidyon haben, so he's got to give chamish slayim lakohen. The Radvaz writes in Bikurim Parakid Aleph Halacha Chaf that this din is pashut. There is no chiddush in this din. The only reason we're mentioning it is as an introduction to the next din. But then he says maybe there is a chiddush, because we already learned that because maybe the chiddush is that even though already mishas leida we didn't know who the bechor was, it was never clear to us which one of these was the bechor. It's not that they later got confused. We never knew who the bechor was. The bechor is chayiv in pidyon anyway, and this is a chiddush because we just learned yesterday that a bechor that was never hukar, you never recognized who the bechor was, he does not have a din of a bechor as far as nachla is concerned. So we're being mechadish that even though a bechor that was never hukar has no din of a bechor lenachla, he will have a din of bechor when it comes to pidyon. In Bir Agra, in Siman Shin Hei, in Yerodea, he writes that even that it's not true that if it was never hukar, then there is no din of bechor even for pidyon. So then the Mishnah has to be talking about a case where Bishas Leida it was Hukar, which one is the Bechor, and it's only afterwards that they got confused or you forgot which one was the Bechor. But those who are Cholik on the Gra, that a Bechor Shalo Hukar is Nismait Dafka from Nachla, so that would be like the Radvaz, that it's Nismait Dafka from Nachla, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that it's not Nismait from Pidyon HaBen. Okay, but says the Mishnah further, Meis Echonem B'toch if let's say, okay, this woman never had children before, now she has twins, right, twin boys, and then one of them dies within 30 days of the Leida, that might have been the Bechor. So then Ha'av Pater, the father's Pater from Pidyon HaBen, because it could have been the Bechor who died, and therefore it's a Suffolk. Cohen wants money from the father, bring a Raya that it was the Pashut that died and that the Bechor is still alive. Meis Ha'av, if the father died though, Va'abanim Kayamim, but both boys are still alive, meaning they both survived past 30 days. Rameir Omer im nasnu ad shelo chalku. If the chamish shloim were given to the kohen before they divide the yerusha, nasnu. That's correct. That's what they're supposed to do. They should give the chamish shloim to the kohen before they divide the yerusha. And none of them could tie it to the kohen that maybe I'm not a bechor, maybe my brother is the bechor, and therefore I shouldn't have to have taken that out of the pot of the yerusha that I received. But if they didn't give it to the Kohen before they divided the Yerusha, then Peturin, then they're both going to be Patur, because each one can say to the Kohen, maybe I'm not the Bechor, so I don't owe you anything. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nischayv Nechasim. No, even if they already divided the Yerusha, the Nechasim, the estate, already became Chayiv in the Chamish Shloim. So even Lachar Shechalku, they're Chayiv to give the Kohen Chamish Shloim from between the two of them. So, and the entire Sugya is going to be about this Machlokas. What exactly are they arguing about whether after the Chalukah Sayerusha, whether these two sons have to give the Pidyon HaBen to the Kohen or not. The Rashba writes, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva that you see from here that the Chiyuv Ha'av is not Pokea after the Ben becomes an adult, unless it's impossible to collect from the Ben, then you collect meaning if it's impossible to collect from the Ben, then you would go back and collect from the father. It's meaning there are two ways to understand. We know that when the Ben grows up, so the father is no longer has the Chiyuv now transfers over to the Ben. Does that mean the Chiyuv transfers to the Ben and goes away from the father, or it's extended as well to the Ben, but the Chiv is still there in the background on the father as well. So says the Rashba, you see from here that the Chiv remains on the father, because otherwise, why would the father's Nechasim be Meshubad even after the Banim are already older? To say that it goes back on their Nechasim, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Neschayv Nechasim, means that even though these children are already grown up, the Chiv still is there for the father. Zachar Nekeva, let's say a woman had twins, one was a boy, one was a girl, but you don't know which one came first, in come the kohen klum. Then the kohen gets nothing, because it could be the nekeva came first and there is no bechor at all, and he would have to prove that there is a bechor, and obviously if he can't, there is not going to be any pidyon ben. Okay, so says Gemara, demisa av emas, this case of the machlokas, when exactly did the father die in this case? Elim demisla achar shloshim yom. If we're talking about that he died after his twins were already 30 days old, v'ha'amer Rabbi Meir, ki chalku peturin, v'ashtabdun l'nichzi. Rabbi Meir is going to say that if they already divided up the estate, then they're going to be patur, there's not going to be a chiv opinion of ben. What do you mean? There's a shibun nechassim on the, once the boys are 30 days old, so the kohen can collect from the Yerusha when there's a shibun nechassim. Now the truth is, shibun nechassim is chal only on karka, not on metaltalin. So the achar misa sa'av, the kohen collects chamesh shloim l'chora only from karka. But Tosfos and Shavuos points out in Daf Dalet and Beis, a kohen cannot be poda a ben with karka, meaning you can't do pidyon ben with karka, because ain't podim be karkaos. So it has to be, I mean, that's going to be a sugi later on, so it has to be that the shibud is on the karka, but the pidyon is done with money. So the shibud is on the karka, you sell the karka and use that money to be put to the bed. And that must be what we're talking about over here. But the point is, though, if the father died after the children were already chayiv in pidyon ben, so the father already had the chayiv, clearly there was a shibud nechasim at that point. So of course there's going to be a chayiv of pidyon ben. Ella must be that the whole case of the machlokas is demis betok shloshim yom. The father died before the boys were chayiv in pidyon, before 30 days, they were 30 days old. And Rav Meir holds, since we don't know which one is the bechor, they're both pater mi safik. So maishna ki cholku da'azil gabei hayu matchilei, da'azil gabei hayu matchilei. Well, wait a second, why should it be different if they already divided the Yerusha? Why are they pater if they already divided the Yerusha? Because you can go to one son and say, give me the pidyon ben money, and he's going to say, no, maybe I'm not the Bukhar. Then you go to the other guy and you say, give me the pidyon ben money. No, maybe I'm not the Bukhar. Well, kilol chalkudami, even if they have not divided the Yerusha, when the coin goes to one brother, he could be dochem to the other guy. When he goes to the other guy, he'll be dochem to the first guy. Because if a father died before Shloshim Yom, he never became chayiv in pidyon ben, and the coin is not being toveya the father from the Nichse Yerusha, he's being toveya the chov from the Bukhar himself, because it's only the Bukhar that would be chayiv. And each guy could say, I'm not the Bukhar, this has nothing to do with the Yerusha I received from my father. You're coming after me, after my own money. Once it's my own money, I could say I'm not the Bukhar. So how does that help if the father died within 30 days? So Rabbi Yirmiyah Zosa Meres, you see from our Mishnah that when you have two people that have the same name, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Shoyu Birachas, that live in the same city, V'lokhu Sada B'shut, and they buy a field in Shutfus with each other. Balchov gova osa mehem. The Balchov could be gova from them, meaning from that field up until half of the value of the field, he could be gova. Why? Damalei, the Balchov could say to each of them, if you're the guy that owes me the money, I'm taking your portion of the field. And if it's your friend that owes me the money, if it's the other Yosef ben Shimon that owes the money, I'm taking his chelik in the field. So then you understand our Mishnah very well, because it's Kol's man that they haven't divided up the Yerusha, they're like Shutfim in this Yerusha. So even though neither one of them is known to be the Bukhar, we don't know which one of them is the Bukhar, he could say, I don't care which one of you is the Bukhar. This is what you own, Bishutfus, and therefore I'm definitely allowed to take from this estate. That's why if they haven't yet divided it up, he's allowed to collect the pidyon ben money. Once they divided it, so then it's their own personal property for each one of them, then he's not going to be able to collect the money. So Rava questions this teretz. Michti, nichsi debarinish inun arvinlei. The fact that nechasim of a person are meshuba to pay his chovos is because the nechasim are considered an arev on his chov. Meaning, first you come to me, and if I don't have the money to pay, go to my arev, go to my co-signer. Who's the co-signer? The nechasim. And the only reason a guy is willing to lend you money is because he knows you have those nechasim that will back you up if you're not able to pay. Well, mi ika midi til didei lo matzitavalei, ula arev matzitavalei. Do you ever have a situation where if you were to go to the person himself and he had the money, he would not have to pay you? But if you go to the Arev, he would have to pay you? That's exactly what's going on over here. Because the if you were to go to each guy, each of these boys individually and say, you pay me from your money, neither of them would have to pay. They could each say, I'm not the Bechar. Oh, but the Nechasim Mishubadim, that's going to have to pay. The Arev is going to have to pay. V'atnan, doesn't the Mishnah say, Masechet Bava Basra, Hamaldas Chaver Al Yedei Arev, if a person lends money and there's a co-signer, lo yipara min arev, you can't go to the co-signer to get paid. What does it mean? What's the point of a co-signer then if you can't go to the co-signer to get paid? V'kaimelon delo yitavim min arev tchila. No, what that means is you can't go to the co-signer first. It's only if you ask the lova and he didn't pay that you're then able to be tovea the arev. So the same is true when the nechasim of a person are serving as the arev. If the balchov doesn't have the ability to be tovea the lova himself, so he's not able to be to be government chasav either. So the kasha on the Mishnah goes back. Why is it when they when the banim have not yet divided the estate, the nifse yerusha between them, that the kohen is allowed to collect these chamish shlaim? He's not able to collect from them. So why should he be allowed to collect from their nechasim, from their estate? The nechasim are only like a din of an arev. Ella Amar Rava, Rava says we have to understand the Mishnah entirely differently. A second way of understanding the Machlokas in our Mishnah. Again, the Machlokas in our Mishnah was a Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. If the father died and the sons, the two sons, of which one of them is a Bechor, but we do not know which one, are both alive, that Rav Meir says that if they have to give Pidyon HaBen before they divide the estate, but not after they divide the estate. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even after they divide the estate, they always have to give this Pidyon HaBen. So Rava says, Li'olam Shemes Li'achar Shloshim Yom. The case is that the father died after 30 days. The boys were already 30 days old, and therefore he already became Chayiv in the Pidyon HaBen. And you know what? If there was a significant Yerusha, if there was a sizable Yerusha, Hachinami Deshakil, there would be no doubt that the Kohen would get the Chamish Shloim, whether the kids divided the estate, didn't divide the estate, because the father was already Chayiv while he was alive. There was already a Shibut that he has to pay that Chov. The Hach of Mayaskinan, but our case is different in that Kigon Daleka Ela Chamish Shloim. The entire Rosh Sa'av was only Chamish Shloim in total. It was the amount of Pidyon HaBen. And both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agree to Rav Asi. They agree to what Rav Asi holds. Why? What does Rav Asi hold? I'm Rav Asi, ha'achin shechalku, when brothers divide a Yerusha between them, mechze yarshin u'mechze lekuchos. We view half of it as if they got it directly from the father, and half of it as if they owned it jointly as shutfin, and then they each bought the other one out of that portion, as if they are lekuchos from each other. Because up until the Chalukah, we don't know where which chelek of the Yerusha belongs to each one. After the Chalukah, there is a machlokas tanaim and amoraim. Do we say yesh breira or ein breira? Meaning, once they decide, this brother decides he's getting that house, that brother decides he's getting that house, this one's getting that, other. Do we say, oh, so huvra adavr l'mafreya, that the house that this one got was the Yerusha that he got directly from his father? Or do we say, no, the Yerusha was jointly owned by all of them? And then each one had to buy the other one out of their portion of the Yerusha. So since that's a machlokas tanoim and it's a machlokas amoraim, Rav Asi has this chiddush that we say half of it we view as a Yerusha and half of it we view as Lukuchos, as a Chalukah. The Makor for Rav Asi is a sugyan babakama daf tes. The Gemara over there says that Achim that divide Yerusha Saviyam and the Balchov of the father comes to collect his Chov from one of them. So according to Rav, Mispatelas HaChalukah. They have to redivide the entire Yerusha. And according to Shmuel, the Chalukah is not Mispatelas. The guy who the Balchov collected from ends up losing out. According to Rav Asi, the guy who lost his Chelek to the Balchov can get reimbursed on half of it. So the Gemara explains over there that Rav holds that Achim Shechalku are like Yorshim, and the Chaluka is Mivarer, what their Chelek of the Yerusha was the entire time. So since they both have the Chiv to be Porea, the Chov Aviyam, equally, so they should redivide the Yerusha. Where Shmuel holds that, no, they're Lekuchos, and the Chaluka was only a Mekach Shelo Be'achrayus. I purchased your half of the house from you, and you didn't shouldn't take any achrayas for it. So if the Baal Chov collects from it, then you don't, the mocher, the brother who sold out that portion of the house, does not have to pay for it. And Rav Asi is misupuk about this din, so he views it as a chati chati. He views it as half half. So normally speaking, by suffik mamon, we follow the muchsak. But there are certain things that the Chum were misupuk about, and they view it as if half of the money is a vaday b'tzad zeh, and half is vaday like the other tzad. So Tos points that out, that this doesn't l'chora, Rav Asi's rule doesn't l'chora follow the rules of Safek Mamon. Safek Mamon, you don't just say, I'm not sure which way to look at it is correct, so we'll view half the money this way and half the money that way. That's an unusual way to resolve it, but every once in a while we don't follow the rules of a Motzi Mechaver Lav Raya. Anyway, so again, we're building the case that there's a machlokes or may reviewed in our Mishnah. So the case is again that the father died after the boys were already 30 days old, so there was absolutely a shibur on his nechassim. And if he had a lot of nechassim, there's no doubt that there would be a chiyuv of pidyon haben. Point is, though, there was only 5 slayim in total. We're assuming, like Rav Asi, that of those 5 slayim, half of it is viewed as Yerusha, half of it is Lukuchos, and Dukuli Alma Milva Ksuva B'Torah, Lav Kiksuva B'Shtar Danya. And everyone is also working with the assumption that a Milva Ksuva B'Torah, that when the Torah is Mechayiv money, that does not rise to the level of a Milva B'Shtar, we view it like a Milva Alpeh. The Udukuli Alma is Sudra Papa. And both Rameh and Rabbi Yudah hold like Rav Papa, Dam Rav Papa, what does it mean that it's a Milval Peh? Milval Peh, government a Yarshin, Veino government a Lukulchos. That Milval Peh you can only collect from a Yerusha, but you cannot collect from Lukulchos. So now if you put it all together over here, right, Rav Asi said half of this is Yerusha, half of it is Lukuchos, and it's all a milva al peh. A milva al peh, you're only allowed to collect from Yerusha, you're not allowed to collect from Lukuchos. So you're only going to be allowed to collect from the half that is Yerusha. But guess what? The half that is Yerusha is not enough to cover the Pidyon Rabban, because the whole amount of the entire thing was 5 slayim. V'hacha b'chamesh v'lo b'chatzi chamesh kamiflagi. So what's the machlokas over here? Do we say b'chamesh v'lo b'chatzi chamesh, that if a Kohen is collecting Pidyon Rabban, he's got to collect the full amount, but he cannot collect half of the amount? Or do we say collect whatever you can get, whatever portion of it you can get? So Rav Meir says the mitzvah of Pidyon Rabban is chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. You never have to pay half of 5 slime. Rav Yudah savra chamesh v'afilu chatzi chamesh. And Rav Yudah says that it's chamesh and afilu chatzi chamesh, that whatever you can get, and if you can't get the full chamesh, so get 2.5. Get whatever it is that you can get for the Pidyon Rabban. So that is the machlokas about, that is the second understanding of the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now this drasha of chamesh velo vafilu chatzi chamesh, or chamesh velo chatzi chamesh, may play a role in an entirely different area of halacha. The Shlos Yaakov has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Vav, where he says that he heard a maisa in the city of Prague in the days of Chosani, Zekeni, Hagona, Meforsa, Maharash, Zatzal, that one year they brought Esrogim Morkovim to Prague. They brought Morkov Esrogim, grafted Esrogim, and he paskin not to say a brach on them. But there were a lot of powerful people that wanted to go against him, and they brought a raya from the shach who was alive at the time, and he was a guest in the city, and he paskin that you're allowed to say a brach on them b'shas alchat. Why did he pass in the aisle say bracha on Esro Hamurka B'Shas Al-Chak? Because there's a Gemara in Chulin, the Fayintesim Beis, about a Tayish Haba Ala Tzviya, where you're knowing the din of Osav Espino B'Seh, because the Torah says Seh V'afilu Miktsa Seh is Chayiv in Osav Espino. So if even a Miktsa Seh is considered a Seh, so even though it's Miktsa So Tzvi and Miktsa So Seh, so it's good enough to be count as a Seh for the din of Osav Espino, who adin by an Esro Hamurka Miktsasa Esrog, it could be Yosef B'Shas Al-Chak. Esrog, Vafilu Miktsas Esrog is good enough. And because of their power, they were able to force the Chazan HaKnesses and the Beis HaKnesses, Hayashan, in the old big shul there, to say a bracha b'kol ram on such an esrog. And when he was about to say the bracha, he said, Baruch Atah, he dropped the esrog, and the esrog was pasled, and he never got to finish the bracha. And they realized that was a siman min hashamayim, and the Gon Baal HaShach was mischaret on his hora'ah that he, before he died, and he told his, rabbi, and he was mitzaveh his son with a ksav yad to be mvakish mechila from Maharash, that he made this mistake and that he almost embarrassed the Maharash in this way, v'chule. So the Rama brings this raya, already mentions this raya and rejects this raya because he says lashon Torah l'chud v'lashon chacham l'chud. Just being sev afilu mitzvah seh, that doesn't mean that the esrog v'afilu mitzvah esrog. The Avnei Nezer says that you cannot say what the Shach meant, that an esrog or morkov has a din of a chatzi esrog, and the ikr mitzvah you can be mekayim with an esrog pashut, but if you don't have a pashut, you take a morkov because you're mechuyv to be mekayim the mitzvah l'kol ha'pachos with a miktas esrog. Because if that were the case, it's tali in the machlokas tanaim in our sugya that misha meis lefnei shapada espino, guy dies before he does pinyin ben, and he doesn't leave a full chamesh slime left for the pinyin ben. So the maskana of the gemara is that l'divrei hakol the yorshim don't have to give what they were yorish because the Torah says chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. Now we're understanding the machlokas. Then in the end we're going to say l'divrei hakol chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. So you have to be mechalik pinosav espino, which is knowing afilu b'mitzaseh, because over there the entire chiyuv is when you give chatzi matanos, as opposed to by pinyin ben, where the chiyuv is only be chamesh and not be pachos mi-chamesh. So therefore, when you don't have chamesh, you don't give anything. So the din of an esrog, he says, is much more likely like the din of pinyin ben, that you have to take shalem, that you can't take part of. So that's how this drasha plays a role in that discussion. But anyway, so this is the second way of understanding the machlokes from Meir of Yehuda, that they're arguing about chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. So says Gemara, we challenge that. I hachi, from Yehuda holds that a kohen takes 2.5 slaim from the Yerusha, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nischayv Nuchasim, Nischayv Gavra Mibayalei. His lashon should be that the banim are chayiv, even though the chiyuv is only on the 2.5 slaim, because he's not, in that detail, he's not really saying differently than Rabbi Meir. Va'o Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Achen Shechalku, Im Yesh Asara Zuz Lezeh Ve'asara Zuz Lezeh, Chayavin Vim Lav Peturin. That Rabbi Yehuda says that two brothers who divide the Yerusha, if each one has asara zuz, now important to realize, asara zuz means 2.5 slotim. If each of them have 2.5 slotim, then they have to give the pidyon haben from the Yerusha. Otherwise, they don't. My asara zuz lezeh, v'asara zuz lezeh. What does it mean each of them have 2.5 slotim? If it means 2.5 slime in total between the part that's Yerusha and the part that's Lukuchos, and therefore they're really only giving half of the Pidyon HaBen, then why would you have to set it up a case where they have in total between them 5 slime, even if in total they have 4 slime between them, so they would pay 2 slime. Why would you have to set it up that there's 5 slime in between them, and they're paying 2.5 slam? If you hold chamesh, v'afilu mitzvahs chamesh, v'afilu chatzi chamesh, it's v'afilu shlish chamesh, v'afilu any percentage of chamesh, they would have to pay. El pshita, no, the case must be that asar zuz di Yerusha lezeh, v'asar zuz di Yerusha lezeh, that each one has 2.5 slam of Yerusha, in addition to 2.5 slam of Lukuchos. But even in the chelek that's just Yerusha, they each have 2.5 slam. And that's why they have to pay pidyon haben. Alma chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh v'irlei. Why only then do they have to be pinyin ben? Because only then will you have 5 slime between them. So because we say chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. So says Gemara Ella. So we reject the second possibility, and we have to say dekulei alma chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. V'ach b'deravasi v'rav papa k'miflegi. Over here, Rami and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about Ravasi and Rav Papa, what we assumed were given. The case was the father died after the boys were already 30 days old, and the Yerusha has more than Chamesh Shlaim. Rav Meir holds, like Rav Asi, that once they divide the Yerusha, each of them has a din of a Yoresh on the half that they took, and a din lokeh on half of what they took, rather, and a din of lokeh on the other half. And Rav Meir holds, like Rav Papa, that a milvah peh can only get from the Yerusha and not from the Lukuchos. And the same is true by Pidyon HaBen because it's a milvah al peh. So since the Shibud is only chal on the chatzi, that's Yerusha, which only has 2.5 slayim, they're patur legamri because of chamesh velo chatzi chamesh. I misspoke. We're talking about where they do not have more than chamish shlamim entirely. So the chelik ha'yerusha is only 2.5 shlamim, and that's why you don't collect. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on one of these amorayim. Either he disagrees on Rav Papa and holds that a milvah alpeh can collect from the lekuchas as well, and therefore you do have chamish shlamim to collect from, because you don't only have to collect from the yerusha. Or he disagrees on Rav Asi and holds that achim shechalku are entirely yorshim. That it's not chatz yerusha chatz lekuchas. They're entirely yorshim, so you could collect from the entire estate. The Ika de Masin La Seifa. The Gemara brings this entire Masu Matan, this entire back and forth, in a slightly different way. That it's all said in the context of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. That Rabbi Yehuda said, Nischaivu an Nechasim. Meaning, we had it originally that this, that it was said on the Reisha, on Rabbi Meir's Shita. So now we're saying, no, the whole Masu Matan is on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that Nischaivu an Nechasim, that the Nechasim are Chayv to pay for it. So, when did the father die? Elim de misla achar shloshim. If he died after the boys were already 30 days old, mechlal the Rameir savor kicholku that it's a peturin. It makes it sound like the Rameir holds that if they divided the Yerusha before they gave the Pinyan HaBen money, even though the father was already chayiv in the Pinyan HaBen before he died, they're still going to be pater. But how could that be? Hoshtabdu l'nichsi. His nechasim were meshubah to pay the Pinyan HaBen. Ela b'toch shloshim. It must be that the father died within 30 days of the birth of the children. Well, then kicholku amay mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. If they already divided the estate, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that the children are chayev? Lezel gabei hay l'dachye, v'lgabei hay l'dachye. Let the kohen go to each guy, and each one will say, maybe I'm not the bechor. I'm not paying you from my portion of the estate. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. So the Gemara brings the teretz of Rabbi Yirmiya that we had before. Zos averes shnei Yosef and Shimon shoyi b'yarachas v'loch hachechem neamsad mechavero. You see, from here, if you have two Yosef and Shimon that live in the same city, and they join in b'shutvus in a particular property, balchov govim imenu. The balchov can collect from them because even though his shtar doesn't prove which one of them owes him the money, they both have the same name. But the amar lei ibi didach masikna mansa didach hashakilna v'bechaver masikna mishtabdali mikame didach. That whichever one you are, at least half of the field belong. I can collect up until half of the field. So Rabbi Yehuda could be talking about where the father dies before the boys are 30 days old, so the chiv of pidyon is only on the children, but l'shitaso, the achim that divided an estate are considered like lekuchos. Each of them is kona his chelik of Yerusha from the other guy, and the chov of the pidyon can be collected even from lekuchos. So the kohen can collect from each of the banim 2.5 slayim, because he's coming to each of them with a taina of mimanavshach. If you're the bechor, so you're chayiv in pidyon, and if your brother's the bechor, this chelik that you bought from him at the time of the chalukah was already meshubad in the pidyon, so give it to me, and therefore I'm going to take my shibud that toward my chov. So Rava challenged that, and he said, what do you mean? You can't collect from the chasim if you can't collect from the people themselves, because you can only go to the chasim if the people don't have what to pay. Kula kalishna kamen. The whole back and forth has to go back and forth like the lishna kamen had said. Okay, new Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to delineate 9 cases of Safik Bechar. They're all pretty simple. Shtei nashim shelo bikru, 2 women never had babies before. V'yeldu shnei zecharim, and they both give birth to baby boys, but the boys get mixed up with each other. We don't know who's who. No, see, that's a slime of the Kohen. You give 10 slime to the Kohen, because each of them is chayiv, is a Bechar li'imo, each of them is chayiv in Pidyon HaBen. Meisach men betok shloshim yom, if one of them dies within 30 days, im lekohen echad nasan, if you gave all 10 slime to one Kohen, yachsu lo chamesh slime. He's got to give you a refund on 5 of the slime because that kid didn't make it. Vim l'shnei kohanim nasan, but if you gave 5 to 2 different kohanim, so in yachalotim yadim, you're not able to be toveya money back from either one, because either one could say, no, I got the money for the other one. Second case, zachar nekeva, one woman gave birth to a boy, the other a girl, o shnei zacharim nekeva, or somehow there were 2 zacharim and nekeva amongst them, there was one multiple birth, no sin chamish shlam l'kohen. Then you only know for sure of one bechar, so you only have to give 5 shlam to the kohen. Shtei nekeva zachar, third case, you have 2 nekevos and a zachar, o shnei zachar zecharim shtei nekevos, or two nekevos and two zecharim. So it could be that there's no bechor at all, because it could be the nekevos of the bechorim. So ein kal lekohen klum. So there is nothing goes to the kohen. Case four, achas bikra va'achas shelo bikra. One of the wives already had a firstborn, a previous birth. The yoldu shnei zecharim, and now they each give birth to a baby boy. So nosin chamish shlam lekohen. The father only has to give five shlam to the kohen. If one of the boys dies within 30 days, ha'av pater, then the father is going to be pater. Meis ha'av ha'banim kayam, if the father dies and the sons are alive, ramei romer im nasnu ad shelo chalku nasnu, if they paid before the estate was divided, they paid and it's good. V'im lav, if they didn't, paturin, they're not going to have to pay. Rabbi Yehuda omer nischayv v'nechasim. No, the father's nechasim already became chayv, same as the last Mishnah. Zachru nekeva in the koin klum. If one of these women already had a previous birth and the other one didn't, and now they each give birth, and one of them to a zachar, one of them to a negeva, but we don't know to which one. It could be there's no bechor over here, and the kohen gets nothing. Shtei nashim shel shnei anashim shelo bikru, two women married to two different men, and neither of the women have had a previous birth. V'yoldu shnei zecharim, two boys are born. Zenosin chamish shlam lekohen, v'zenosin chamish shlam lekohen. Each of them has to give five shlam to the kohen. May sechem me'am tok shloshim. If one of the bechorim dies less than 30 days, im lekohen echad nasim, if they both gave to the same kohen, yakshlem chamish shlam. He's got to give them both back the chamish shlam jointly. Im l'shnei kohanim nasim, but if they gave him to two separate kohanim, ein michalim l'altim yadam, you can't get it back from the kohen. Zachar nekeva ha'avos paturin v'aben chayiv liftos asmav. Zachar nekeva, the boy when he grows up is going to have to be pulled to himself because he's definitely a bechar, but the father is not chayiv in anything. Shtei nekevos zachar, shtei nekevos l'shnei zacharim, ein kal nekohen klum. There might not be a bechar at all. In the last case, achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra shel shnei anashim, two husbands. One of them is married to a woman who never had a baby. The other one to a woman who did have a baby. The elder shnei zecharim, and two boys are born, but we don't know who had which boy. Zesh lo bikrish to nosin chamish shlam lekohen. Then the one whose wife never had a baby has to pay chamish shlam. Zachru nekeva. But if one gave birth to a boy and the other to a girl, ein kan lekohen klum. Then the kohen gets nothing. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Gemara.